What's up, y'all? It's Jamal Bolton here with another episode of the Jamal Bolton Show. Episode number 65 to be exact, if you're counting. But happy new year to everybody, man. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you guys. I've been away for quite a bit, but I got a lot to talk about. I mean, if you've been following me on Instagram, I'm sure you see I stay active. And if you haven't been following me and you're listening for the first time, at J Bolton Show is my Instagram. So please continue to follow as I update everything every day as much as I can. So as I start this show off, it's starting on a heavier note than normal, man. The other day on New Year's Day, former NBA commissioner David Stern, he passed away on New Year's Day. He suffered a brain hemorrhage back in December, and it was one of those things where you got the alert from Bleacher Report, and me personally, I just uploaded it, and then I was thinking, like, dang, like, you know, he passed out, and the reports start coming in, everybody's tweeting everything that they knew, and it was like, damn, David Stern, he passed out, and it was like, okay, you know, personally, I think, oh, he's gonna make it through, he's gonna be fine, and all right, it's David Stern, and you know, you're just thinking, like, okay, he's going to be in the hospital for a little bit. He's going to take a little bit of time to recover, but he's going to be back on the mend. We're going to see him around soon. And then we get the news a couple weeks later that he passed away. You know, he's 77 years old. And anybody who's ever watched sports, and if you love sports, like, I mean, I'm a self-professed sports junkie is what I like to say. I'm addicted to it. I love it. I can't help it. I mean, it is what it is. But I think he's the greatest commissioner in sports history. And it's not even close. Like, all the other commissioners that ran congruent with him. And I'm talking about Paul Tagliabue in the NFL, Gary Bettman, who was actually – he worked with David Stern years prior. He ran the NHL. And then you got Bud Selig, who ran, you know, baseball. And that's another story in itself. But they weren't as personable or likable as it seems. You know, Tagliabue – he was what he was. Gary Bettman, you don't really see much of him. Bud Selig, he's always, like, off in his own world. There's no knock on him. But David Stern, you know, as much as he was an enforcer and he was, like, stern, like, living up to his name literally behind closed doors, I mean, he was a personable guy. I've heard stories of someone, you know, he had to work in his office and he said, hey, you know, David Stern was super cool. Like, he treated us kind. He wasn't a guy that was like, hey, look at me, I'm at the top of my game and you guys are doing work for me. He treated everybody fair, was a nice guy, and that's just kind of what it was. But the commissioners I just mentioned, I don't think they did as much to change their games as much as David Stern did for the NBA. Like, you know, Bettman, he did what he can do with the NHL. I mean, the NHL kind of sells itself. Tagliabue, the NFL. It grew. The NFL is the NFL. It grows. People love the NFL, but we look at what Commissioner Stern did, and yes, I still go on Commissioner Stern. You know, you can't help it. He's the guy you knew. Like, before I dig into details with him, it's like when you got a new basketball, you always remember the David J. Stern signature on your basketball. You know, as a kid who grew up in the inner city, a lot of people wanted to meet David Stern on that draft stage. And of course, you know, that's a small, you know, the chance of meeting him, like, in that setting at the NBA draft is very slim to none. But that's how you see him. He's just an amazing guy. You know, you just wanted to have that handshake and meet David Stern. But he was a trendsetter, man. He was a trendsetter. And he, you know, yes, you know, when he took the NBA over, a lot of people was like, the NBA was a terrible league. Like, the finals were on tape delay, you know, back in the early 80s. And we had, you know, a drug problem in the league. And it was a terrible time. I mean, could you think about the NBA Finals being on tape delay right now? It's no way in hell that the sport would be able to prosper if it was on tape delay. Like, you just put it in your mind, like, damn, imagine, like, okay, cool. Like, the Warriors played last night. I'm using them because they were just in the finals, right, on the West Coast. The Warriors played, and, oh, we got to wait for a couple more hours for it to come on or whatever. It just didn't seem right? And, you know, hearing that, I wasn't alive. You know, I wasn't old enough to remember when it was on tape delay, but he changed all that. He always had the best interest of the game at heart. He did everything the right way. Like, you know, yes, Bird and Magic came in at the same time. They saved the NBA. It was just perfect, right? When Larry O'Brien stepped away and Commissioner Stern came in, you know, he just kind of came in at the right time. He was, you know, he was behind the scenes, and then he kind of, boom, it, you know, Larry O'Brien knew he had the right guy in hand, right? Like, he's the guy. I got him, right? Commissioner Stern made his way up, general counsel, all the way up to commissioner. Like, he's the man. He empowered his players, right? He knew he had something with Magic and Bird. Then he got MJ, and it was like, bro, like, I got the guy. I got the guy that's going to carry the league, and that's what it was, and that's how it's always been. I mean, you look at the numbers and the things that he's done. You know, we can talk about a bunch of things, right? But when he came in 84, league revenue was $165 million. 23 franchises. Average attendance was over 10 grand, right? Annual TV deal, $28.5 million. when he's on his way out in 2013, like, you know, a little bit before he's leaving. $5.5 billion is the league revenue. We got 30 franchises. He's, you know, he grew the NBA by 7 teams. Average attendance, 17,269. And annual TV deals, like, $937 million. So think about those numbers. Think about what the game is. Like, the game is so, it's expanded so much. Like, you know, European players, we didn't really have that. You know, unless a guy was came to school in America and he happened to be from Europe, that's how that happened. But to expand the game, to do the things that he's done. And as I mentioned a little bit, a few seconds ago, he was hired as the general counsel, right? He created the salary cap because, you know, you want to get a competitive balance across the league. He becomes the commissioner in 84, and everything starts to go on from there, and it gets better and better, right? Institutes a draft lottery because he knew teams would start to tank when the better talent came out, and NFL really haven't, they haven't gotten around to adapting this rule, but, you know, tanking's a little hard in the NFL, and some teams, well, it's questionable. Some teams seem like they want to tank, but it is what it is, right? But he does that. He institutes a draft lottery in 85. I mean, look, NBA to NBC in 90, a huge TV deal. And in 92, I think one of the biggest things and one of the biggest creations that occurred was him creating a dream team. It was a little bit before 92, right? You know, if anybody remembers, they had the special on NBC and they announced the team and everybody was just, you know, talking about it. It was such a big deal. I was a little boy then, but when you look at the talent that they had on that team and who was around, and you got Jordan, Bird, Magic, Patrick Ewing, you know, David Robinson, Karl Malone, John Stockton, and who they were sending over to Barcelona. I mean, that kind of really opened up the doors as far as people being like, whoa, like, you know, prior to it, it was college kids going to NBA. I don't know if anybody knew, but college kids were in the Olympics and they were playing against pros, and it was supposed to be amateurs, quote unquote. And then I guess they realized, like, look, man, you can't be sending pros and we're sending college kids, so we're going to send our firepower. And that's what they did. The Dream Team kicked everybody's butt. Nobody could stay close and nobody could touch the Dream Team. And that kind of really enhanced the popularity of the game. I don't have numbers in front of me right now, but, I mean, nobody's dumb. If you were old enough and living in 92, you knew what was going on. You knew, like, I mean, every day it was like, yo, we got to watch the Dream Team. We got to watch the Olympics. We knew they were going to win. But it was just crazy, right? Everybody had their fresh Nikes on. You know, the Olympic Jordans. Barkley had his Air Force 180s. Magic had his little cons or whatever. And Olympic colors. Patrick Ewing had his Ewings done. So it was just, from that standpoint, a lot of us were looking at it like that. And everybody just an amazing thing. And then, of course, when you look at Jack McCollum, he read his book and then a documentary that was inspired by the book. Just how impactful that team was, man. They were just amazing. So, and David Stern, we got to thank him for it, right? And we had that. He was one of the guys behind it. I mean, it's David Stern. I mean, it's talking about it is really one of those depths where it's like, you don't know the person, but it affects you because you're like, some people just seem like they're going to live forever, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, he's not gone. David Stern's not dead. And David Stern, you know, it's like, it's hard. Like, damn, you hear that. Like, man, David Stern, he passed away. And it's just a hard thing to fathom and to really imagine, because when you put everything together and you see what he's done, you know, it's just, oh, man, it's just weird, man. It's just one of those weird things. And it just doesn't seem right still, man. Even hearing the news and even reporting this right now, it just seems odd to me, right? He had a few more things, you know, he went through the longest lockout in league history. 98, it was a terrible lockout. It was bad. He grew his famous lockout beard, but he got the league through it. And then also in 2005, another thing that he's like known for, that a lot of people initially bashed him for, was a dress code that he instituted, right? Many people, and myself included, you know, you're young, you're not really looking at it like that. You're like, oh, damn, like, that's racist, and why can't the guys wear sweatsuits? And then you look at the pictures now, you say, god damn, that was tacky looking. Like, you look on the sideline, you see Iverson with a 4X sweatsuit, and you're like, bro, like, you don't wear this size at all. Like, you're 5'10", why do you have size 42s on, or whatever he was wearing? And you look at how the players dress now, and it's like, it's a damn runway show, and it's for the better. You know, like, these players have pulled out all stops when it comes out to fashion. Like, you look at guys how Russell Westbrook dressed, on, you know, the way LeBron is suited and booted. I mean, hell, LeBron, you know, he was a gift. You know, him walking out the press conference, and he's like, do better, when a reporter asks him the question. He's like, walking out with his man purse, you know, his bag. No disrespect, like, his man bag, it's, you know, it's an expensive bag. But again, I say all that to say, David Stern instituted a dress code that we have followed, the NBA has followed. And you look at what the players are doing now, like, they pull out all the big guns when it comes to fashion. And, like, he did that. So what was initially looked down upon, like, oh, no, that's wrong, you know, it shouldn't be that, he's done a damn good thing with that, I think. You know, it's amazing what he's done. it's just amazing to see like how, you know, it was a negative turned into a positive, right? And it is what it is now. Everybody is happy. Everybody's doing what they're doing. You know, it is what it is, man. It's just a sad thing to see, you know, like he's actually gone and, you know, but he left the game in good hands, right? You know, you look at what LeBron is doing. You look at what everybody else is doing. They're out here, they're balling, they're doing the damn thing. The ratings are what they are right now. You know, sometimes the games come on late or whatever, but David Stern left the game in good hands, obviously, with the players. And of course, Adam Silver, who's on his way to achieving legendary things and just kind of taking what David Stern has done and running with it. So, you know, he's definitely gonna be missed, man. You know, adding 17s, relocating, you know, team 16s relocating under his regime. The money has quadrupled. And the NBA is a global brand, literally. Like, I don't even know how many countries that, you know, basketball's in, but probably the most popular sport in the world. I mean, I know soccer's pretty popular, but I mean, the NBA is up there, right? So, you know, you just hear all the stories and you saw everybody showing love for him and what he's done to the game. So, he's just as impactful, like LeBron said. I mean, you know, Dr. James Naismith created the game, but David Stern, you know, he's just as important, you know, to the history of the game. And it's sad to see him go. But, you know, definitely want to touch on that because he's definitely somebody that, you know, when you look at basketball your whole life, you know. So, continue to rest in peace, Commissioner Stern. You know, it just still seems a little surreal that he's gone, but he'll definitely be missed. I'm sure his memory will keep, you know, they'll find a way to keep honoring him, whether it's an award or something like that. But the NBA is in good hands. I mean, if you look at it this season, I know I haven't been on much and I haven't, you know, recorded much, but you look at what's been going on. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks, they picked the right where they left off last season, 31-5. And, that, you know, Giannis, he could possibly be league MVP again because he's still balling out of control. The Boston Celtics, they still look good. Miami Heat is very surprising in the East. 25-10, you know, nobody expected them to be that good. The defending NBA champions, the Toronto Raptors are still balling. They look good. They didn't look really, you know, they lost Kawhi, but they didn't look like they lost much. And of course, right now, you go out west, you know, you got the Lakers, the Bronze of the Revenge Tour. You know, he's assuming he's, you know, everybody was saying he was washed up. So if this is washed up, I'm taking it, right? He's averaging almost 11 assists this year. He's got Anthony Davis with him. I mean, you got JaVale McGee, you got these other young guys with them, and they're doing their thing, man. They're looking really good out there. The Nuggets are looking good. The Clippers are okay. You know, they're good. They loaded up, and it should be an interesting playoff, right? It's really early right now. We can't really talk about anything per se. Like, oh my God, like this team's going to run away with it. Like I said, Milwaukee looked good. They should come out the East, but I mean, what happened last year, right? They lost 4 straight in a conference finals, and that was it. So we don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, everything's up for grabs, right? Like, you know, anything can happen, and you don't really know, but it's good to see. We'll wait and see, right? Because the top six teams in the East are pretty, you know, the top six teams, oh, they're not close, but I mean, everybody's got a pretty winning record. And then you get to the 7th and 8th seed, the Brooklyn Nets and the Magic, you know, they're under 500, but, you know, the East isn't really what the East should be, so we know that. But the West is always going to be interesting, and, you know, Denver's picking up speed, and they're doing what they're doing, and you know, just speaking of basketball, all right, just, you know, I'll get up teams. I'm going to get on some individuals for a quick second. I know some people got a ton of things to say about him, but, man, James Harden, man, I always say this when I talk about him, man, he can play some damn ball, man. He may be one of the most elite scorers. I mean, I know he's the highest scoring player from the decade, from the 2010s, but he may be one of the most elite scorers the game has ever seen. I mean, he's averaging damn near 39 a game right now. I mean, it's incredible what he can do. It's amazing. I mean, some of this stuff is questionable as far as whether it's a walk or carry, whatever you want to say, but I mean, he's balling. I mean, he's really good. And the sad part about it is that he's going to have to get a coach that can really execute with the X's and O's down the stretch. Anytime you hear D'Antoni's story, it's like, it's very, very little emphasis on defense and everything's about offense, right? So, that's on him. That's what he does. That's how he does it. And I'm not here to knock or judge him, but yeah, I mean, if the teams want to be great, I mean, this is something that they're just going to have to figure out. I mean, especially with the Rockets, you've got a guy that's in his prime still. They better utilize him. They better, because if not, you're wasting that talent right now. You know, it's just it's just sad that I keep stuttering on it, but I'm just trying to think about who would be a great fit for the Rockets, and it just doesn't, you know, it's kind of like whatever right now. I mean, I want to say Mark Jackson, but I'm kind of not trying to say that because I'd love him to come home and coach the Knicks. I mean, I think he's the guy that can help right now. The Knicks are a disaster. I had to segue into that real quick. The Knicks are a disaster. It's disappointing that David Fizdale didn't have anything to work with because I think he's a really good coach. You know, RJ Barrett hasn't hit off like we thought he would. He's about 14 a game. You know, struggling with his shooting, but he'll get better. I mean, he's a rookie. I wasn't expecting him to come in and average 25 a game. The NBA is the NBA. Everybody can't do that. But I think he'll be okay. I mean, we got some really talented players. Julius Randle's good. I think, you know, the Morris twin is good. And we got Alonzo Trier, you know, Bobby Portis. You know, those guys are good. They gotta just ball, man. I mean, the Knicks are currently 10-25 right now. It's pretty sad right now, how that's looking, but they gotta figure it out. They gotta get the right they gotta get something done. I mean, it's tough to be a Knicks fan now, right? Like, I grew up in an era where, you know, 50 wins is a struggle. Like, damn, we won 50 games this year, right? Like, I'm used to seeing the Knicks win 57. We won 60 games when you're getting to the finals, right? You know, the playoffs is always a given, but now I don't know what. You know, I guess things all come around, because I remember watching the Mavericks win 10 games one year, and they won the NBA championship in 2011. So hopefully the Knicks, that some of that rubs off on the Knicks, man. But they need some young players, man. I mean, they got RJ. He's one of the talented rookies in the class. And it's another rookie out there, too, man, that I got to publicly acknowledge and say, man, like, I slept on him. I slept on him real bad. And, my public apology, Ja Morant. Oh, God damn. I was wrong about this, man. He is – that kid can hoop, man. I mean, when I first saw him, I said, okay, he's either going to be Antonio Daniels or he's going to be Russell Westbrook, right? And for me, I don't like really disrespecting anybody or saying anything negative about anybody, but call a spade, right? Like, Antonio Daniels went to Bowling Green. He was really good at Bowling Green, and he got to the NBA, and he was sort of basic, right? He was sort of basic in the NBA, and a good role player. I believe he got a ring with the Spurs, and, you know, he stayed connected to the game. And then again, that's not a knock on him, but I just think sometimes some people don't translate well to the league. And I said, he went to Bowling Green, Ja went to Murray State, and I said, damn, Ja's either going to be between him and Russell Westbrook. Well, I guess the joke's on me, because he's more Russell Westbrook than anything. I mean, the kid he's balling. I mean, he's so far, I'd give him rookie of the year right now. I mean, you know, seeing how Zion's out, he made red shirt this year. But I mean, Ja's averaging almost 18 a game, 6 assists, shooting 47%, 40 from 3, 80 from the free throw line. I mean, Memphis has got a star here, man. This kid is really good. I mean, he's also a feel-good story. He's one of those guys that, you know, you look at and, you know, he got passed up. You know, they passed him up. You know, no colleges wanted him, really. I mean, he got picked up because a coach saw him playing in the back gym and, you know, some AAU ball, and he gave him a scholarship, and the rest is history, right? He got to college and just kind of balled out of control, and obviously he showed he could have been he could have played in a high level. Obviously he could have played any conference, but sometimes you do have those kids that slip through the cracks, and he's one of them, unfortunately. But man, he can hoop, man. So I gotta say, man, I didn't think he was gonna be as good as he was. I kind of played myself thinking that he was gonna be a basic player, but he's damn good, Joe. He's really, really good. So I owe him a public apology, because the kid's rookie of the year most likely. He makes you shake your head. I mean, I'm sure you saw that I posted on my Instagram page like 2 weeks ago almost, when he like tried to jump over Kevin Love, and I took a screenshot. It looked like Vince Carter at the Olympics. It was crazy. It was the kick and go. So Memphis has got some, him and Jaren Jackson. I mean, they've got something, you know. God, he's special. He's special. I don't want to take too much time up on that in the NBA, but, you know, another thing before I get past the NBA, it's great to see Carmelo Anthony back. That was tough to watch him sit out and be out so long. But listen, things happen for a reason. He's back. He's still balling. He took care of himself. He's out there. He's doing his thing. And he looks great. I'm happy for him. And I don't know if he's going to stay in Portland. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if it's going to be a situation where he can leverage his way around. Personally, look, man, if it fits right and they treat you right and they're going to give you the opportunity to play and not just have you on the bench as a charity case, man, I'll just stay out there, man. You got Dame, CJ. You know, they got the big man coming back, and they're going to be all right. But, you know, I think Melo, man, Melo is – he's still got it. He's special. Ain't no farewell tour. He's still got a few more years in him. I don't care what nobody says. I mean, he may not be able to put a 25 or 30 like he was when he was in Denver, but – Melo's still good for, you know, for 2021 tonight. And that'll help a lot of teams, man. Who knows? He may find his way and say, hey, I want to go play my boy for a year or two. May go out, you know, go up with the Lakers. I mean, who knows? But it's great to see him back, man. I'm definitely glad to see him back. And he's balling still, man. You know, you didn't deserve this. You definitely didn't deserve this, man. So, you know, shout out to Melo. Shout out to Ja Morant, James Harden, the Lakers, LeBron, you know. And shout out to Luka and Giannis. They're leading the first round of NBA All-Star voting. If you haven't checked, it's a ton of ton of people leading. I don't want to take up your time with this segment, but they're leading the first round of NBA All-Star Balloting. You know, the Balloting is still open. All-Star Games in February in Chicago. So I'm going to take a quick break. Got some more stuff to get back into when we get into NFL, what's going on in there. And I definitely want to dive into some college football before we get up out of here. So sit back, relax. I'm going to take this quick break, and I'll be right back with you guys. Welcome back, y'all. It's time we slide over to the NFL and we talk about what's going on over there. You know, it's tons to talk about. Today was the start of the NFL playoffs. It's a ton of things going on right now. So I know the Texans and the Bills just balled out as I record this. The Texans won on they won in overtime, and it was a hell of a game. I gave up hope after a while. So the Bills were up 16-0. Sitting there thinking about the Texans going to have to get a new coach as well, but it didn't quite work that way. They kind of came back. J.J. Watt's back. He came back from a torn pec after about 2 months, or 2.5 months. So he's back. He was, you know, doing whatever he does best. He looked good. And Deshaun Watson showed why he's one of the future superstars in this league, leading his team back. And DeAndre Hopkins, after being shut out the first half, he, you know, ended up getting, what, 6-7 catches for 90 yards, showing why he's an all-pro receiver. They look really good. I know everybody didn't think they were going to do it, but Buffalo's good. I mean, they're like a few pieces away, man. They got a good young quarterback, and they got a good coach. So they'll be back. I don't, you know, they were terrible for a few years. I wasn't used to that either. Buffalo was always good when I was a kid. The Patriots and Titans are playing right now. The Titans are up by one. Derrick Henry's running all. He's running wild on the Patriots. And the Patriots just don't seem like the old Patriots of old. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's just Tom Brady's age is catching up to him, but whatever it is, you know, you start to hear the rumors and people mumbling, oh, Tom Brady, this is his last home game. What's happening? This is last year. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the situation is. I haven't heard any rumblings about them wanting to move on from him, but I've heard people talking. So we don't know what's going to happen. I think they'll pull this one out. I actually, I'll be honest with you guys. I get it. The Ravens look great. They've been doing everything right, but you got to beat Bill Belichick in January. Bill Belichick is one of those guys that he can get it done with whomever. I mean, he can really, really, really get it done, and he's a genius. I mean, if you remember a couple of years ago, he was kind of complaining about having to get rid of Garoppolo. He knew what he had, and if he had it his way, I mean, I think you put Jimmy Garoppolo where Tom Brady's at right now, and the Patriots dynasty just keeps getting extended. So, but nobody wants to listen to him, and it's hard, I guess, for Robert Kraft to kind of get rid of Tom Brady or separate himself from that situation. Tom Brady's still really good, but he's not what he's not what he was 15 years ago. But he and Bill Belichick will make it work. I guess, you know, this isn't the end, but they're looking like they're struggling right now. We'll see. You know, I've seen worse, and you know, who knows? I mean, it could be the end of an era. Who knows? I mean, he is 42. I mean, when he said he went to play, he was 45. We thought he was crazy, and he's still balling out of control. So I guess we just have to sit back and relax and watch how this one plays out. But I know tomorrow we got Minnesota and New Orleans. I got New Orleans winning that. We got Seattle and Philly. I definitely have Seattle winning that. I don't, Philly had a terrible year this year. But it's the playoffs, so everything is different. Everything happens, right? But if I had to make a choice right now, I know I'm speaking a little prematurely, I'd go New England and New Orleans in the Super Bowl. As much as I want to say Seattle, something in me, you know, it won't allow me to. And I just still think the 49ers aren't where they need to be just yet. They're like a season or two away from really getting there, right? They had a huge turnaround this year. The defense is good. You got Nick Bosa, stud. You know, you got Richard Sherman out there. Still, he's all pro still. But yeah, they're not ready yet, I don't think. And I mean, I could totally be wrong. I'm not sitting there saying anything. I mean, we all got opinions, right? We all can express them and we can say what we want to say, right? But it is what it is. You know, that's what it is. That's just it, right? Most people probably expect me to go with the Ravens to make it, but I mean, Lamar, they're good. They're really good, and I can see them making the Super Bowl, right? But I know Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick will put something together, and he'll find a way to get through whatever Harbaugh is planning. And it's Bill Belichick. It's hard to describe unless you're a football mind and you have that mind. And I don't have a Bill Belichick mind. But I know what I've seen before. Bill Belichick will dissect you and will tear you apart. I mean, let's go back to when the Chargers had the best record in the league, right? I forget what year it was, and the Chargers were like 14-2, 13-3, and they went out to San Diego. They beat them. I mean, what can you do? I mean, Bill Belichick had a few weeks to prepare. He knew he was going to be there. They played him in the playoffs and sent the Chargers packing. Everybody, oh, the Packers are going to, I mean, the Chargers are going to go to Super Bowl. And yeah, well, the Patriots ended that dream really quick. So it's crazy. But, you know, I wouldn't be mad if I saw the Ravens in the Super Bowl. I mean, Lamar Jackson, he's the NFL MVP. He was actually, you know, he's voted first team All-Pro the other day. He'll be MVP. He received 47 out of 50 votes. And, you know, I segued into him because it was something I saw about he, you know, he wasn't unanimous selection. Whatever, teachers know, but 47 out of 50 voters. And one of the voters who didn't vote for him was Bill Polian, who previously stated that he thought Lamar Jackson would be a wide receiver in the NFL. And, you know, Bill Polian's a respected NFL guy. He's been around forever. He's got a Super Bowl as a GM. He knows talent, but I think he got this one wrong, and extremely wrong. And you can't say that it was a racist statement, right? Because he voted for a black quarterback. That's his quarterback, which is Russell Wilson, right? So it wasn't like he went with someone else and it was completely, you know, whatever. But it's something about him. I just think that he kind of really plays Lamar Jackson as the fool. Like, he doesn't like Lamar Jackson. I don't know what it is, but I mean, look, to Bill Polian and anybody else that's listening, get over it. The black quarterback is a quarterback, man. They're just as good as their white counterparts. I mean, if not better. You know, just deal with it. Like, I don't know why the hell people still, that's still a stigma. The black quarterback, like, bro, get over it. You got black guys that can throw the ball. You got black guys that are super intelligent. I mean, for as dumb as he is, damn, Jameis Winston is one of the smartest dudes in the NFL. Like, he could have matriculated at Stanford. I mean, he makes some dumb decisions, but I mean, damn, he's a quarterback. I mean, and he's, you know, he wasn't as good as Lamar Jackson, obviously, but he can ball. Lamar Jackson had a season for the ages. He had a season for the ages, and so did Christian McCaffrey, man. Shout out to him. Carolina, man, if Cam Newton can get healthy, or if they can get a quarterback that can, you know, get him the ball, that kid can ball, man. He was, you know, the third member of the exclusive 1,000, 1K, 1K club, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. He joined Roger Craig and Marshall Faulk as the only other members in the exclusive club, and Roger Craig was the first to do it. Let's let that be known. If you don't know who he is, anybody, I'm sure you know, but Roger Craig played with the 49ers, got 3 rings with them. He was a dual threat, just amazing. And Marshall Faulk took that dual threat back role to the next level. I mean, it was just amazing. Christian McCaffrey, man, he's just somebody you really want to. I mean, damn, he was good. Like, I watched a lot of him on these ESPN documentaries over the course of the, you know, college football's 150th season. And a lot of voters are saying, hey, we had time to vote for the Heisman over, we would have voted for him as the Heisman Trophy winner. He was just so good. I mean, you look at him now, he's really good. He translated well, man. He's a great NFL player. All pro. He's good, man. He's really good. I think Carolina has a special gem with him. And they're going to they better take care of that, man. They better take care of him and surround him so they're not really running him into the ground, so he can prolong his career. But he's a special guy, man. Had to definitely shout him out. So and I have to gear up for this, what I want to talk about. Right now, we just saw some news a couple days ago, right? After 9 years, Jerry Jones finally decided to let Jason Garrett go. And I'm like the weird sports fan. I hate to see people lose their jobs, but God damn, bro. Like, I was of the mindset he had like a secret recording of Jerry Jones saying something or some pictures or something. Yo, he was terrible, right? He just never got the job done. And that's the thing. He always came up short. You know, I hate to bash him, like I said, but let's just call the spade a spade. I will say this, and I've always said this. Jerry Jones did this to himself. You know, he could have had a 10-year mark with nothing but success. He could have probably had at least 2 more Super Bowl rings, right? So he probably, during his 10 years of owner, he probably would have had about 5 or 6, I think, right? This is just me. And he would have had himself a couple more Super Bowls if he never fired head coach Jimmy Johnson, former head coach Jimmy Johnson, right? We get it. Egos and people clash and people do certain things. And sometimes you just don't get along with people, you know, whether, you know, coaches and owners and things like that. But Jerry Jones is of the mindset that he could put anybody in that position. They had a magical formula, right? Jimmy, you see what he did in Miami. Anybody who's listening who watch sports, you see, you know, if you don't know much about Jimmy Johnson, go watch the 30 for 30 about the U. He took over for Howard Schnellenberger at the University of Miami. Schnellenberger built the program. Jimmy helped take it to the next level because he got all those Miami guys. He wasn't afraid to go into the neighborhoods where they had the best football players, but were also the most dangerous neighborhoods in Miami. Let's call a spade a spade. Jimmy Johnson was that guy. He was cool. All the black players loved him. They'll tell you that in the documentary, right? Jimmy comes to Dallas. Jimmy
you know, it goes to a 1-15 season, right? Then they go ahead and they just demolish their whole entire team. They get all these young guys. They get all these draft picks for Herschel Walker. They trade everybody away. And those all those picks and everything that they traded away for end up giving birth to the triplets, right? Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman. They got everybody else around them. You know, you look at, you know, Larry Allen on the line. You got Nate Newton. You got all those other guys. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys were, as a kid, you're playing street football, man. Like, there wasn't nothing for you to be the quarterback and say, I'm Troy Aikman. You know what I'm saying? You got the ball. You're a running back. I'm Emmitt Smith. Y'all Michael Irvin. I mean, you did everything. And then when they got Deion Sanders, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself, right? Let me stop. I'm going to say this. They had the best. They had a magical formula. Jimmy got the best out of all his players. They all wanted to play for Jimmy. I say this. Jerry Jones had his Tom Landry, but his ego got in the way. I'm going to say this again. Jerry Jones had his Tom Landry, but his ego got in the way. Right? Jerry Jones got there. He wanted his own coach. He fired Tom Landry, so everybody hated him initially in Dallas, right? They hated him. How could you? Tom Landry's a staple. He's the guy. He is Dallas, right? Jerry wanted it his way. He won everybody over by eventually it being right. You know, I remember being a kid, seeing a press conference, like, you fired him, huh? He just won a Super Bowl. Whatever. Egos, you know, went away. Got in the way. And I guess they did whatever they did. They didn't agree, so Jerry fired him. He assumed he could throw anybody in the sideline and win. And obviously they did, right? They had Barry Switzer. Barry Switzer coached at Oklahoma. A legendary coach in his own right in the college, in the college game. But man, Jimmy Johnson was the guy and should have never been let go. He should have never been let go. Jerry Jones paid for it, right? You got a Super Bowl with Barry Switzer, but after that, the ship started to sink. It started to sink. And it just didn't work out for Barry Switzer like that in the NFL. You know what? Let me just resign while I'm... Let me just get up out of here. I got my Super Bowl ring. I came in. I piggybacked over Jimmy Johnson's talent. And there's no knock on him because it takes a lot to coach. I couldn't get in the NFL and coach. I wouldn't know what the hell to do in certain situations. So it takes a... You know, you have to have some... You know, you have to have it to coach. But to keep it going, to prolong that success, to keep things just going and operating the way it was, he played himself. He played himself. Like, I can give it to him. Right now, if you're going on a coaching search, I swear, you know, everything in my head, I wish everything was a fairy tale. I wish he would have kept Jimmy. Let Jimmy ride it to the wheels fall off, bro. Just ride on out. Yeah, just ride on out. Jimmy got two Super Bowls. They would have definitely won three. They may have beaten the 49ers 4 years in a row. That's just my opinion. But, you know, the 49ers were too strong that year when they had Deion Sanders. That was just too much. You couldn't do nothing with that, right? You know, you can't throw to one side of the field, and he's every which way. He's in his 20s still, and, you know, Deion was Deion. But although Barry Switzer got in there and he did what he had to do, Jimmy, you know, Jerry Jones, he played himself. So now they're back, and they're looking for a head coach. You know, first time they're going in, first time since what, 2006, 2007, something like that, since they're looking for a head coach when Bill Parcells retired last. And, you know, you got Jason Garrett. He's been there since. Now we're back here, you know. So we're at a point now where Jerry Jones is paid for it. You know, they haven't had much success. You know, when they had T.O., you remember the famous, you know, the press conference? He's my quarterback. You remember when he made that comment? And I did a bad T.O. impression just now, but he's like, that's my quarterback. They're 13-3. Everybody thought, oh, Super Bowl was coming back. They got bumped out in their first game in the playoffs. Had a bye. Got knocked out. So now I'm hearing Mike McCarthy and Marvin Lewis might be talked about as replacements. Please, 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 please. Anybody who knows anybody can get this to Jerry Jones. Don't take Marvin Lewis. He's a nice guy. I like him. I'm all for a black guy getting a head coaching job in the NFL, but don't do it. It won't equate to much success. That's just my humble opinion. It will not equate to much success. It won't. Wasn't able to get the job done in Cincinnati. I don't think it's going to happen. Mike McCarthy, I like him. He's won a Super Bowl. He's a proven winner. Get him some talent. I know he clashed with Aaron Rodgers a little bit or clashed with management. However it goes, just get the job done, right? The Dallas Cowboys, for what they were, for what we expect them to perform, what we expect them to do, and for what they give us, it's nothing in return. And I'm not a Cowboys fan. I just want to see something. I just want to see a good product out there on the floor, right? I think it's really terrible that we don't get a chance to, you know, that we don't get a chance to really get what we bargained for. So now, you know, they back to square one. They are who they are, right? It is what it is. So let's just hope and pray that they get the right guy in there. Because Mike McCarthy, I think he can make something happen. I mean, I've also heard Tony Dungy's name floating around. Marcus Spears said that. But I don't know how true that is. I'm going to leave it at that. But because I just personally think that it needs to, you know, things need to be nipped in the bud a little bit different. I think they need to just do things the right way and finally get a coach in there. But I still stand where I still stand on my stance about Jerry Jones doing the wrong thing with Jimmy Johnson, letting him go. It's backfired all these years. Yeah, you got a Super Bowl after that, but two playoff wins, you know, you haven't had. And look, the success has been minimal, right? I always believe in my heart. And even Dallas natives have said this. Jimmy Johnson stays, they win a little bit more. Of course, you won't win every Super Bowl, right? But you probably have a Belichick and Brady type run, right? Because, you know, Jimmy's going to draft the right guy. They're going to get a successor to Troy Aikman. And we won't have this foolishness happening, right? The back-to-back 5-11 season of the Dave Campo, things like that. So we'll see, right? So that's all I got for you in the NFL right now, man. I didn't mean to really get so long-winded. It is what it is. I just wanted to get into that, right? And I want to slide on up to me on football. I'm going to leave the NFL alone because I don't want my blood pressure up. Because, you know, it's just crazy, right? I don't want to get my blood pressure up. But I wanted to talk quick about the college football playoffs before I was able to head on out of here. I don't know if anybody watched that catastrophe, if you want. That's what you want to call it. LSU demolishing Oklahoma 63-28. I don't know where to start with this, but I definitely want to say shout out to Jalen Hurts, who's had one of the great college careers. He did his thing. He went, you know, again, anybody who knows the story, played in Alabama for 3 years, got a spot taken in junior year by Tua. Stayed, kept his head. You know, he did his thing at Alabama, played and did what he had to do. Graduated, went over to Oklahoma, was a Heisman finalist this year. They got beat bad. They got beat by a way better team. That doesn't take away from who he actually is and what he's done in his career. I mean, he's definitely one of those special kids that has a maturity of an adult. Most kids would have declared for the draft and been bitter, but he ended up working himself into a better position, I think, with the NFL draft. He could possibly sneak into the first round, could be a second round pick, whatever. Who knows, you know, but he did good for himself by doing so. But I want to talk about Joe Burrow first. 7 touchdowns in the first half. It's a Big 12 powerhouse school. Oh, man, 493 yards total for the game. Joe Burrow is amazing. It's the reason why he's a damn Heisman Trophy winner. He's amazing. That game was just nothing to talk about. But, God, yeah, it was nothing from Oklahoma. You can't really talk about much. I mean, Joe Burrow just, he's amazing. But, I mean, you wasn't sitting there watching that blowout. It was kind of hard. I was out the house. I was watching on my phone at one point. You know, usually I like to watch big games in the house. But this one was like, forget it. Now, the Fiesta Bowl, that Ohio State game, phew. I ain't gonna lie, I was nervous, man, because Ohio State's got some firepower. You know, you got Chase Young. I mean, God, you got Fields. They were so good, man. But, you know, Clemson, they show why. They show why they're defending national champions. Trevor Lawrence showed why he was 25-0. I mean, they're really good. I mean, they're really, really good. And you saw what they did. I mean, Trevor Lawrence opened up. He started to, you know, he got busy. 259 yards, 2 touchdowns, 16 carries, 107 yards. A touchdown, Travis Etienne. They stepped up. I mean, they show why they're defending national champions. They show why they're balling. You know what I mean? So, that's just what it is, man. They show how they get down. And now they get a chance to play against the best team in the country, arguably. You know, January 13th is in New Orleans at the Mercedes-Benz Dome, right? Am I lying? I think it's Mercedes-Benz Dome. I forget. It's in New Orleans, right? I apologize. So it's basically a home game for LSU. But it's going to be an amazing game. We got two stud quarterbacks. I mean, it's everything you ever wanted, right? So it's the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know it was something. So I had to go back to that. But we got Joe Burrow on one side. We got Trevor Lawrence on the other side. Hard to pick, right? I don't want to make a decision right now, but if I was forced to make a decision right now, I'd sit there and I'd literally say, I think Dabo Swinney can find a way to get to Joe Burrow. I think it's going to be one of those classic games that's going to go down to the wire. It may kind of be reminiscent of Georgia-Alabama a couple years ago when Tua threw that bomb and Alabama wins in a walk-off touch, you know, walk-off, and they get out with the national championship. I think it's going to be something like that. Or it's going to be a complete blowout. Only reason why I may side with Clemson, and I'm thinking Clemson's going to do it. You saw what Dabo did to Nick Saban last year, right? Nobody gets Nick Saban like that. mean, Dabo prepared. He prepared for it. He prepared for it. It was crazy. It was like, whoa, I didn't even want to watch after a while. You almost felt bad. That's what Alabama does to everybody, right? But it's going to be good, man. It's going to be one of those games. I personally thought it would be another Clemson-Alabama national championship. But, I mean, you know, teams do get better and everybody starts to progress year in and year out. So, I guess everybody, you know, Alabama can't make it every year. You know, it was a bad year for them too. I got hurt a couple times. And, you know, everybody's not, you know, nobody's unbreakable. So, things happen. They're not unbeatable. But I'm sure they'll be back in due time. But I'm just here to talk about the game that's, you know, that's about to happen in about 9 days, something like that. So I just want to get on and talk about that. I'll probably try to get back on beforehand and make my prediction and, you know, set it in stone. But right now, if I had to choose, I'm definitely going to probably go Clemson in a close one. Close game, maybe 30-27, something like that. It won't be a blowout. I definitely can guarantee you that one. It won't be a blowout. So, yeah, it'll be a good one for sure. That's for sure. So, That's all I got for you right now as far as football goes, man. I just had to get that off my chest. Jerry Jones better hit this next high out the park. This Clemson game is gonna be a goodie. And I'm about to take a quick break and I'll be right back with you guys to wrap this show up. Welcome back, everybody. Before I get out of here, I want to say rest in peace to Stuart Scott. Today is January 4th, 2020, and today is the day he passed away 5 years ago. Anybody who watched sports and know he was a different type of dude, but in a good way. He always, you know, he made it fun to watch. He made it fun to see, to listen to. He was just that guy. I mean, we all loved him. I mean, I know I loved him. I mean, as a kid, I remember watching SportsCenter. I remember watching SportsCenter and just kind of muted it and kind of trying to imitate him. He was definitely, again, like I said, definitely one of a kind. Just a guy that, you know, just did it all, man. He's just amazing. So, you know, it's kind of sad. Again, like the David Stern death. His death was even more shocking because he was younger, obviously. So it's like one of the things to just say F cancer to, right? You know, it's still shocking. Like today I woke up and remembered, like I've just remembered it, like, wow, you know. So yeah, man, hope he continues to rest in peace. I mean, his impact is felt. Everybody, you know, still we love his sayings. The booyah, cool is the other side of the cool is the other side of the pillow. You know, just your world player with paying rent, you know, things like that. He was just one of a kind, man. So continue to rest in peace, Stuart. And the modern era, 2 days ago, we had the modern era finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Steve Atwater, Tony Baselli, Isaac Bruce, Leroy Butler, Torrey Holt, Edgerrin James, John Lynch, Troy Polamalu, Richard Seymour, you know, Reggie Wayne, to name a few. We got some coaches. We got Jimmy Johnson. He's nominated. We got Bill Cowher. You know, it's a lot of different people. You know, we got a bunch of contributors. You know, it's just a bunch of people, tons of people. I put the list on my Instagram page. So if you want to see it, man, you can go ahead and you can check it out. Also, a couple days ago, I don't know if anybody saw the report by Corey Homicide Williams over. He covers the NBL over in Australia, and he was saying that a sneaker company offered LaMelo Ball $100 million in a private jet. I don't know how true it is, but I don't know what company I should say. I'm sure it's true. He's not going to put his name out there like that, but. I'm just curious to see as to who offered him so much money. Because as of right now, he's probably, you know, probably going to be the top pick in the draft. You know, possibly it's going to be him, James Wiseman, or Anthony Edwards from Georgia. You know, I know Cole Anthony's been out. So, he had surgery to be back. So, I don't know how he'll play his way back into that talk. But we'll have to wait and see what happens. So, that's all I have for today. That's all I really have right now. I'll be right back. You know, the playoffs are in full swing. NBA is heating up. I'll be back with more news as more reports start to break. Just please keep checking my Instagram page. I update as much as possible. I'm always on. So if you follow me at Jay Bolton Show, I'm on Twitter as well at Jay Bolton Show. Just continue to follow, continue to support, man. Like, I'm just going to keep giving that work, keep pumping it out. I'm going to do whatever it is that I have to do. I'll try to get a little bit more innovative, try to get a little bit more creative as far as what I do, how I do, the guests that I bring on. You know, waiting for a few people to have their schedules cleared up, but I got some stuff in the works. I know I've been saying it for a minute, but timing is everything, right? So just be patient with me. I'm coming with some heat. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for always supporting. Thanks for the guys, the men and women that definitely show love. Happy New Year to you guys. I hope, you know, you guys have accomplished everything you set out to accomplish this year. I mean, I'm going for everything. I'm shooting my shot at everything. You know what I mean? So I hope you guys feel the same way. Appreciate you guys. Keep grinding. Keep working, man. Stay prayed up and do whatever it is you got to do. But I'm out. I'll be back soon. It's your boy, Jamon. I holla.